We are not called to speak a good fight of faith. Listen to this now. This came straight from the Holy Ghost. We're not called to speak a good fight of faith, but rather we are called to fight the good fight of faith. Although speaking is necessary, we're not called to speak a good fight of faith. We're called to fight a good fight of faith. And saints of God, I'm telling you, speaking and fighting is two different things. We just can't speak it. We got to put some blows on Satan's head. We got to put some blows on the devil. You know, when we're fighting this good fight of faith and sickness and disease crops up in our life, we got to do something. We can't just speak it. See, that's what's happening now. That's the realm that we're in now. We're just speaking. We're speaking the word. We're getting happy about the word. We're just being jovial and enjoying the word. It's okay to enjoy the word. It's okay to be happy and uplifted by the word. But when are you going to work the word? You know, I remember in the book of John, it says the disciples asked Jesus, how do we work the works of God? You got to work. It's work that goes with working this. You're just not going to speak it and it come up right for you. You got to work the works of God. See, when he said pray, he said man ought to pray always and not faint. You got to pray some of these things away. They just not going to go away automatically. Prayer changes things. You know, if you're sick, you got to call the elders of the church. And they'll come and pray for you and anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. It'll heal the sick. See, these are the things that we have to do. We have to study the word, meditate the word. We have to do what the word says do. And when we do what the word says do, then God will do what he's obligated to do. We know this is what we came to do. This is what we were teaching on today. It was teaching on the difference and the parallel between Christian living and living like the world. We had questions that we wanted to know. We needed to know where we are and where we're going. And when we're living this Christian life. And we need to know, where are you going, saints? We're on our way to heaven. And this is what we need to know. But to get there, it's going to take work. Amen? Amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The record says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of God. My brothers and sisters, I'm grateful to the Gospel of John for his remarkable insight into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The four gospel writers together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of which Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels, which means they have very similar accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they all present him in various depictions. Matthew depicts him as the Son of Man. Mark depicts him as the servant or servant of man. Luke depicts him as the king or king of the Jews. And yet John depicts him as the Son of God. The two most interesting detailed accounts of Jesus' beginning comes from Matthew and John. Both Mark and Luke pick up at his forerunner, John, and they present John and his birth before Jesus. So does Luke, but Luke goes more into detail. However, Matthew chooses to go a different way. He chooses to look at the genealogical historicity of the lineage of Jesus Christ. He deals with the birth of Christ. He starts with Adam and walks down through 42 generations, ending up at Joseph, the husband of Mary, the earthly father of Jesus. And so Matthew depicts Jesus as the Son of Man. But John depicts Jesus from his beginning. Matthew looks at his birth, but Jesus looks at his, John looks at his beginning. But John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same in the beginning was with God. So John is saying here, Jesus began before the world began. He was eternal before the world ever came to being. As a matter of fact, John shares with us that Jesus made the world. He goes in and deals with this in a little more detail, but he wants to make clear, because one of the things that John presents is the information that brings about this wealth of knowledge and profiles that he presents, that no other gospel writer presents. In the book of John, in the first chapter, John presents him as the Word. John presents him as the maker of all things. John presents him as the life. John presents him as the light. John presents him as grace and truth. John presents him as the Son of God. John presents him as the Lamb of God. And John presents him as the Messiah. He presents a multifarious, multifaceted, multifunctional ministry of Jesus, unlike no other gospel writer. He starts off by saying, verse 4,
or verse 3, let me back up. He says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 says, in him was life. Listen to this now. Because remember now, Jesus is eternal. He was with the Father in the very beginning, before that was a beginning to the world that we knew. Jesus was already in existence. Jesus here is depicted older than his father, who Joseph is attributed to being his earthly father. So he's older than his earthly father because he was before his earthly father. Even in John's presentation of Jesus, he tells those who were listening, of the Pharisees, that Jesus was preferred before him because he was before him. Now, John knew that he was born 6 months before Jesus, but the revelation of the fact that Jesus was here before him was the insight that Jesus was here before anything ever was here. But John takes the time to show you how he got here. Listen at this again. In him was life. Now he's talking about everything that has to do with life, that is connected with life, that concerns life. It was all in him. And the life, talking about the power of Jesus Christ, the essence of Jesus Christ, was the light, L-I-G-H-T, of men. Now, because of the life of Jesus Christ, we now have light in us, which is the illumination and the understanding or the knowledge of the saving grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that we must recognize is this word light plays an important role in understanding the power of Jesus Christ. Because when it says again, and he was the light of men, it again is talking about the salvation of men. He is the knowledge that brings men to the saving grace of God. He is not only the illumination of the world, according to John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But I want you to see something very interesting, because when he talks about life, we know the story of the beginning of the book of Genesis in Genesis 1. And the Bible says in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord, of God, moved upon the waters. But verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, here is what is most interesting that many of us don't recognize. Because Jesus is the light, and Jesus was with God in the beginning, as was the Holy Ghost. Here is the better rendering or understanding of that light. When God said, let there be light, listen at this. He did not have to produce light. He just presented light. In other words, when he said, let there be light, Jesus stepped forth. I wish I had a witness in the house. Because Jesus is light. He's already declared he's the light of the world. He's already declared he's the light of men. That's why he says to the believers, ye are the light of the world. That's why he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven, because he is that light that shineth in us. Listen at this. And then the Bible says, listen, and the light shineth in darkness. Now, this is so important, because one of the things that I think, again, is relevant for the believers to understand is that for anything to receive illumination, or knowledge or understanding. It must come through the light or the word or the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He lights up everything that is dark in this world and in our path so that we are able to see and understand and know how to move and to maneuver in all things. Because of light, we don't stumble in darkness. Because of light, he makes our path plain, and he gives us the ability to have a lamp for our feet so that our steps are calculated and they are guarded because we see where we are stepping. But people in the dark stumble over stuff because they don't see what's before them or around them. How many of you, even in your own house, at certain times have stumbled in the dark because you didn't put the light on? And you thought you knew where everything was, but you may have miscalculated the distance between this or that, or something or someone else may have put something in the path that shouldn't have been there, and you come walking thinking the path is clear and stumble over it because you couldn't see in darkness. But had the light been on, you'd be like, now who put this there? This don't believe, or you'd have moved on around it, or you'd have moved it out of the way, but you wouldn't have stumbled on it. But men in darkness don't have the privilege of the light and seeing the pitfalls, the setups, and all of the traps of the enemy. That's why when you've got the light of Jesus, Satan can't fool you like talking about. The Lord illuminates the situation and you see him coming before he even gets there. Because you have the ability to see, he works his program, Satan works his program like he's working it on you, but the Lord has already illuminated the situation and you know what he's all about before he even finishes his situation of trying to get over on you. Listen, when you've got the power and the light and the knowledge of the word of God, the wisdom of God lives in you. That illuminated understanding kept Jesus when Satan tempted him after the 40 days of his fast in the wilderness from falling flat on his face. Because when the devil came at him the four different times, every time the devil came, Jesus used the light of the word and made it clear, I can't fall for that because it is written, I have light, understanding, and the knowledge of the word. And that same truth and revelation is meant for every believer. And so the light shineth in darkness for the believer. But listen at this. But the darkness comprehendeth not. Now here are two schools of thought. First of all, the darkness could not perceive what the light was capable of doing. You see, let me say this to you. A lot of times when God reveals to the believer what the enemy is doing, the enemy can't even comprehend it. When the enemy thinks he or she is getting over on you and God shines the light on that situation and give you revelation of that situation, and darkness tries to overcome you, but it comprehends it not, which means that the Lord makes you victorious in those dark situations that the enemy thinks that he's able to prevail in. It literally means that he has no perception of the understanding or the power that lies within the light. The light. Because of the light, you are able to see and you are able to understand what the enemy does not want you to understand. And here is another thing. The darkness cannot put out the light. As much as darkness may try, it cannot comprehend it. It cannot overpower it. It cannot overtake it. It cannot perceive the power that is in the light. And when the light shines upon the darkness, it takes away all of the power, the strength, and all of the evils of the darkness because of that is in the light. And so, my brothers and sisters, that's why the people of God need to understand with Jesus, the life that he gives to us presents light for the life of us. What good is it to save our life and then let us walk in darkness? What good is it to save us and still let us stumble around in darkness, hitting and missing the rest of our lives? He saves us and then empower us to be able to overtake the enemy and walk in authority and to thwart all of the trials that the enemy would try to bring us through to take us out. That's why we ought to love Jesus. And understand what Jesus means. Listen. Verse 10 says, because 6, 7, 8, and 9 deals with the narrative of John, talking about John was sent by God and all of the things he did in preparation of Jesus. But verse 10 says that he was in the world, talking about Jesus. And the world was made by him. Listen. And the world knew him not. Now, Jesus, already the Bible tells you, is the life and the light of men. But then it tells you he was in the world and he was in a world that he made. And he was in a world that he made that didn't even know him who had made it. Now, listen. He says he created, he fashioned a world. And then he came into that world and he dwelt in that world. And John's going to further break it down for you. But he was in that world that he made. And then the revelation was that while he was there, people were looking at him and didn't know they were looking at who had made them. So then the Bible said, while he was in the world, verse 11, he came unto his own. And guess what they did? They, his own, received him not. Now let me tell you, it's already bad enough you have created, you have made, you have fashioned mankind in your likeness and in your image, and then you dwell with them and start to deal with them, and they don't even know who you are. But it's another thing for you to show your love to a particular group and fashion them after your own heart and love them with an everlasting love, and you go to them and they don't receive you. Listen, it's one thing when the world doesn't receive you. You can understand that. But doesn't it hurt when you go to the church and they don't receive you? Am I talking to anybody in the house? You expect folk in the world to treat you wrong. But do you really expect folk in the church to treat you wrong? You expect folk to betray you in the world. But do you really expect folk in the church to betray you? You expect folk to play games with you in the world. But do you really expect folk in the church to play games with you? You expect folk in the world to act like they have no love for you. But do you really expect folk in the church to act like they have no love for you. You expect folk to turn their backs on you and don't speak to you and roll their eyes at you and act like you ain't nothing in the world. But do you really expect that of people in the church? He came to his own and his own received him not. Verse 12 says, but, thank God for but. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen, what I love about the Lord is he's no respecter of persons. You remember what he told the disciples in John 15 and 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And what I'm so glad about that is he chose us knowing who we were, what we would do, how messed up we were, and all of our shortcomings. And he loved us with a real love, a pure love, an everlasting love, a life-changing love. He loved us with a love that looked beyond our faults and still met every one of our needs. I love the man Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he chose me. Because there are times I wouldn't even choose myself, less known you. Let's keep it real here. This is how Jesus loves. This is how Jesus chose to show himself in his people. And so when his own received him not, listen, he opened it up to whosoever will. And I don't know about you, but I thank God that he gave us a chance when his own didn't even want him anymore. But this ought to say something to you, my brothers and sisters. When there are those who are supposed to love you don't love you, isn't it good to know that Jesus will always love you? In spite of you, in spite of your ups, your downs, in spite of your troubles, your problems, in spite of you, he'll always love you. Look at this again. But as many as received him, to them, not the rest of them now, gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, he's talking about the past. He's talking about all those who accepted him as their Savior. But now he's talking about the present, even to them that believe on his name. That's those of us today and those who shall come before his coming back that believes on his name. He gave us power. That word power here comes from the word exousia, which means authority, which means permission, and it means liberty. He gave the ones who received him the permission to become sons of God, the liberty to become sons of God, and the authority to become sons of God. So if people ask you, how did you get to become a child of the Most High God, all you got to do is say, I received Jesus, and he gave me the power, the liberty, the permission, and the authority to become a son of God or a child of God. Isn't that good news? I said, isn't that good news? You wasn't a Jew. You wasn't one of the chosen ones. But because you received Jesus, he took you just as you were, like you were, where you were. And when you accepted him, he gave you permission, authority, and liberty to be one of the ones who were chosen, like the Jews were, to be children of the Most High God. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus.